All right, if you have your Bibles, you can take and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at chapter 26, first of all, in the book of Deuteronomy. But first of all, I want to ask you a question. Tomorrow, our nation celebrates Memorial Day. How many of you know what the significance of Memorial Day is? Raise your hand. You know what it's about. I might call on you to tell us. A couple hands went down real quick. All right. I think probably most Americans don't even understand the significance of Memorial Day. To many people, it means nothing more than a day off from work, a time to picnic, a time to play. Memorial Day is a time to remember the U.S. men and women who lost their lives serving this country. It is literally a day of national mourning. All U.S. flags should be displayed at half staff during the morning hours. At noon, they should be raised back to full staff. Now, originally known as Decoration Day, it was established in 1868 to commemorate the dead from the Civil War. But over the years, it came to serve as a day to remember all U.S. men and women killed or missing in action in all wars. Now, as a society, we have memorials to help us remember things that we don't want to forget. In January 1983, a memorial to the American men and women who died in the Vietnam War was unveiled in Washington, D.C., The name of everyone on record who was killed in the fighting was etched into that huge black stone. Many thousands of parents, wives, mothers, sisters, brothers, friends traveled to the Capitol to find the name of their loved one on the monument. And most are grateful that the sacrifice their beloved relative or friend has made has been memorialized on that wall. I think far too often our nation as a whole takes for granted the freedoms that we have as Americans. Those freedoms were paid for with the lives of others who few of us actually knew. That's why they are all collectively remembered on a special day. So in order not to forget those who have sacrificed their lives for our country, we annually celebrate Memorial Day. Now as Christians, I think we understand that the freedoms we enjoy in this great country have been given to us by the hand of God. And as we pause this weekend to remember those who have given their lives for this country, let us remember that our sovereign God has given us this country as a gift of His grace. The only reason anybody died for this country is because God foreordained it. God has given us this nation. It is a gift of grace. In the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, we find a verse that I think is very applicable to us today. Deuteronomy 26, verse 9, and stay in the book of Deuteronomy when we finish this, because we're going to look at a couple other verses. Deuteronomy 26, 9, look at this verse. As I read this verse this week, I thought it's very applicable to us. It says this, Deuteronomy 29, 6, He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I think that's very appropriate for 21st century American Christians. The Lord has brought us into this place. And the Lord has given us the fruit of the earth in this place. He has given us our daily bread. He has brought us safe to this point in time. This is the message of all Scripture. That everything around us and everything that we are, everything that we have is a gift from God. It's a gift from the hand of God. When is the last time we paused to thank Him for the nation in which we live? For the freedoms that we enjoy? I mean, we live in a truly blessed nation. If you've never been to another country, maybe you don't have the understanding to really appreciate what God has given us here. But just think for a moment about all that we have. We live in huge homes with wall-to-wall carpeting that are climate-controlled. We simply turn a dial and our house gets warmer or cooler. We have bathrooms, several of them, with toilets and hot and cold running water. We have refrigerators, stoves, microwaves. Our pantries are filled with every kind of food you can want. And if we run out, we just get into our climate-controlled cars and drive to the supermarket where they have any kind of food that's imaginable and a lot of stuff that's not even food. We have telephones and computers that allow us to talk to anyone around the world. We have televisions that bring us movies and news and sporting events. We are a very blessed people. We live in peace, counting on our military to keep us safe from any aggressor. What more could we ask for in this country? You know, we should be the most thankful people on the planet. But are we? I dare say we're not. We're probably the most grumbling, complaining people that ever existed next to Israel. Do you realize that there are many people in the world who have no electricity? No running water? People who have to work all day just to try to get enough food to keep them alive for that day? People who live in constant fear of their lives as war is a daily part of their life? Yet here we are. We're rich, we're blessed, we're at peace. We've got it all, and we need to recognize that this country is a gift of God's grace. Look with me at Deuteronomy 8:18. Another verse that is very applicable to us in Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." You are to remember the Lord your God. You know, as we enjoy all the blessings this great nation has, do we remember God? As we celebrate Memorial Day, are we aware that we enjoy this great country because God has given it to us as a gift of His grace? Let me share with you a story that I came across that you might be able to relate to. One afternoon, a shopper in a local mall felt the need for a coffee break. So she bought herself a little bag of cookies and put them in her shopping bag. And she got in line for coffee. She found a place to sit at one of the crowded tables, and then taking the lid off her coffee and taking out a magazine, she began to sip her coffee and to read her magazine. Across the table from her, a man sat reading a newspaper. After a minute or two, she reached out and she took a cookie. And as she did, the man seated across from her reached out and took one too. This put her off. But she didn't say anything. A few moments later, she took another cookie. Once again, the man did so too. Now she was starting to get a little bit upset. But she still didn't say anything. After a couple sips of her coffee, once again she took another cookie, and so did the man. She was really upset by this time, especially now since there was only one cookie left. Apparently the man also realized there was only one cookie left, and before she picked, her coffee break was ruined. Already thinking ahead of how she's going to tell this offense to her family, she folded up her magazine, opened her shopping bag, and there discovered her unopened bag of cookies. I like that story because it makes me think of how well God treats me, even when I'm not thinking too kindly about Him. It also makes me think about how sometimes I don't really appreciate what I have or even act like I know where it's come from. It serves as a kind of reminder to me of how God has graciously provided for me, even when I don't appreciate it at all. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6. This is an injunction given to the nation of Israel, and I want you to see how much it could be applied to us today. Deuteronomy 8:6 says, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vine trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you shall dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land in which He has given you." Do we do that? When we're eaten, when we've eaten, when we're full, when we're so blessed, do we stop and say, "Lord, I thank You for all I have here"? Look at verse 11. He says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full..." Now, let me back up just a second here. He says, beware that you don't forget the Lord by not keeping His commandments. See what he's saying? It's not just the fact that you haven't been thinking about God. He says, you forget God when you don't walk in obedience. You're living as if God didn't exist. Verse 12, "Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And again, the forgetting God is simply not obeying Him. Here Moses tells the people of Israel how they'll prosper in the promised land that they're about to enter. How after so many years of slavery and then wandering in the wilderness, they're going to eat to the full. They're going to have nice houses. They're going to have large herds that their silver and their gold are going to multiply. And then he warns them, and he says this, "Don't say to yourself in Deuteronomy 8:17, 'My power and my might have gained me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers at this day." Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy is really one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament because it speaks so well of what we know somewhere in the recesses of our hearts, but often seem to forget in our actions and our attitudes. It speaks of how everything we have has come to us as a gift of God. He gives us everything we have. Our strength, our health, the power to get wealth. Would that I remember this at all times. I think it'd make my life so much better, and it would definitely bring honor and glory to God. Not long ago, some famous people all over the world were polled by a magazine which asked them this question. If you could be granted one wish that will come true right now, what would it be? If you could be granted one wish that would come true right now, what would it be? There were some very interesting responses, as you can imagine, but one response really impressed the magazine's editors, so much so that they commented on it. They didn't say who it was, but the response was this: "I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have." Wow, what a wish that is, huh? I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have. That's an interesting thing to wish for. What do you think would happen if each one of us suddenly became a more grateful, more thankful person? If all of a sudden people became more appreciative of what God was doing in their lives, what God has given us. You know, Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. I mean, we've been given salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us to provide us eternal life, and then He's placed us in a nation where we enjoy freedom and prosperity and blessedness. Our lives should be full of praise. They should be full of thanksgiving. They should be full of joy. How it must grieve the heart of God to see American Christians moaning and complaining about the petty little things we moan and complain about. You know, even in the midst of adversity, we should be rejoicing in what we have. But because I think of the world around us and the attitudes of most, and because of our own bent towards self-centeredness, we're prone to be very unthankful. Instead, we're prone to be full of the kind of mental attitude sins that lead to complaining and grumbling. You know, as Christians, we are commanded to be thankful. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body," and it says this, "and be thankful." And be thankful. An important element in allowing the peace of Christ to rule in our heart is found in the closing words of the verse. It says, "and be thankful." The present tense of the Greek suggests the translation, "keep on becoming thankful." See, there's a connection. A constant spirit of thankfulness is an essential part of letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Because of our tendencies as sinful people, our natural bent is to be unthankful and ungrateful. And an ungrateful person is one whom the peace of Christ does not rule. Thankfulness is something we need to develop. We need to work at it. It takes time. It takes effort. This is suggested by the present tense, which refers to that which must be repeated or continued. And by the verb ginomai, to be, to become. The Greek text is looking at a process of developing and maintaining a thankful spirit. How do we do that? How do we grow in gratitude? How do we grow in thanksgiving? I really feel that the prosperity we live in has hindered us, not helped us. Because we have so much, anything makes us complain. Let me give you two ways that I think you can grow in gratitude if you have a Bible study. Say, Bible study, how's that going to make me more grateful? I think that thanksgiving, a thankful heart, a grateful heart, is motivated by Bible doctrine. Because the more time you spend in the Word of God, realizing what you have in Christ, realizing what you deserve because of Adam, you're going to be a more thankful person. Colossians 3, 16 and 17 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the only way that's going to happen is if you spend time in it. All right? Let it dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, as you come to know God through His Word, you can always have a thankful heart. Remember Jonah? He found himself in quite a severe trial. He was eaten by a fish. That's a severe trial, isn't it? I mean, you ever been eaten by a fish? Jonah 2:1 says this, and Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. I'd probably be doing that too. I mean, I'm sure we'd all probably be in prayer if we were in the fish's belly. But listen to what he prayed in Jonah 2:9 and 10. He says, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Interesting, here is Jonah in the belly of a fish. I can't imagine, you know, it's got to be kind of dark, kind of nasty in there. Other things floating around. Stomach acid starting to work at you. And he prays, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. How does he do that? I think the only way Jonah could respond that way is because Jonah knew his God. He really did. That was one of the reasons he ended up in the fish, because he was running from God. Because he knew his God. Listen to what he says in Jonah 4:2. He says, so he prayed to the Lord and he said, ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are. See, Jonah knows the truth about God. He says, I know you are a gracious and a merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Jonah had a relationship with God. He knew him. Therefore, he could be thankful even in the midst of the worst situation because he had an understanding of his God. Now, you might be saying, how can I be thankful for this or that situation? You can be thankful in any situation by focusing on the promises of God. You know that God can't lie. So whatever He promised, you can count on. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. God doesn't lie. So if he said something in the Bible, you can count on it. And the God who cannot lie said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I've heard a lot of Christians question that verse, say, I don't know if God really knows how much I can take because I don't feel I can take anymore. But God does know. Your trial may be difficult, but you can thank God that He won't put on you more than you can bear. And that He is in control of the trial. God also said in Romans 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All our trials, our sufferings, our disappointments are geared to help us mature in the Christian life. You know, we all know that. We all understand that trials have a purpose, but none of us like them. We can always thank God in the worst of situations for the available power to carry us through the difficult situations. It is through the Word of God, folks, it is through time spent in the Bible that we are constantly reminded of God's goodness. And listen, that's a prerequisite to being grateful, to being thankful. When you understand that God is good, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of any situation, you understand our God is a good God. Turn with me to Psalms 100. And I want you to note the relationship in Psalms 100 between the command to give thanks and the reason to give thanks. Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures to all generations. It says here that we are to give thanks to God because God is good. Thanksgiving is a matter of response to the facts of Revelation. We learn about God, we learn of His goodness, and we thank Him. Everything we have comes from His gracious hand. And let me add another comment here about Psalms 100. You know, I think that God throughout the Bible calls for corporate worship. I feel, by the attitude of some of you, that singing is like something we do to kill time around here. It's not. It's worship. It's worship God. And all through the Bible, we are called to gather together to give praise to God. And I think when we're doing that, that our people should be in this room focusing on God, their mindset on Him, worshiping Him for who He is and what He does. Not wandering around the halls, dilly-dallying, doing all kinds of stuff. Corporate worship is important. Is God not worthy of our worship? Is He not worthy of our praise? Come before His presence with singing. And I think we need to teach our children, listen, this is the time we're here to worship God for all He has done for us. Our songs are focused from the Scripture on God, on who He is, on what He has done. And our children need to understand this is a time when we corporately are thanking God for who He is. I don't know, too often I get the attitude we're just too casual around here about the Word of God, about the singing of God, about anything. We take too many things for granted, I think. All right, I'll quit meddling and go back to preaching. The second thing, all right? The second thing. If you want to grow in gratitude, not only spend time in the Word of God, that's where you're going to learn about you and about God, but secondly, count your blessings. Count your blessings. I mean, if you want to grow in gratitude, just start counting what you have. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have comes from God's hand. And one sure way to grow in gratitude is to count your blessings. And what I mean by this, if you need to do this, literally write them down. I mean, get a pencil, get a piece of paper, sit down and begin to think and write down what God has given you. Things such as salvation. Hey, whatever situation I'm in, it sure beats hell because God has reached out to me in love. He has saved me. I should be thankful no matter what my situation. Secondly, for your health, for your family, for your friends, for your job, for your church, for your food, for your water, for your car, your house, your life. In a prosperous, peaceful nation, you know, we could go on and on forever, but I hope you get the point. We have so much to be thankful for. Other than being on a self-inflicted diet, when is the last time any of us were ever hungry? We don't understand what hunger is. We don't understand what it's like to watch our children starve to death in a nation where there is no food. And yet we gripe about such petty things. We should be thankful, I think, for our friends. Are there people in your life who have hung in there with you through thick and thin? People who could have bailed out when times got tough but didn't? Just the fact that they stuck with you needs to be appreciated. You know, some of us have marriage partners who stuck with us through bad times. It may have been a financial disaster, a midlife crisis, a health problem, a terrible career decision. Some of us have been blessed with someone who has shown wonderful support, and we've taken them for granted. Folks, gratitude is an attitude. An attitude can have an incredible impact on our lives. You know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. And because this is true, I believe that the single most significant decision I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It is more important than my past, my education, how much money I have in the bank, my success or failures, and what other people think or may say about me. Attitude is more important than any of these things. You see, if I have a poor attitude, It doesn't matter much how much talent I have, how much resources I have. Because if my attitude is wrong, then I'm defeated before I even attempt the simplest task. A little boy said, "Salt is what ruins the mashed potatoes when it's left out." Using the same kind of negative definition, we could say gratitude is what ruins life when it's left out. Gratitude is what ruins life when it's left out. And I know some of you are thinking, well, you don't know my situation. You're here. You're alive. You're in America. You got food. I mean, we could go on and on. An attitude of gratitude, folks, glorifies God. An attitude of gratitude glorifies God. We've spoke before of murmuring and complaining. You all know that message. But do you understand that when you have a grateful heart, it brings glory to God? And do you understand that the reason we exist is to bring glory to God? And so we can fulfill our purpose simply by having a proper attitude. God created us for His glory. Isaiah 43, 6 and 7 says, "I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name," now listen, "whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him." God created us to bring him glory. Therefore, it is the duty of every person to live for the glory of God. And one way we can do this is by having a grateful, thankful heart. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Therefore, when you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God." Do it to the glory. Whatever it is you do, do it to God's glory. Which could be translated, have the right attitude in doing whatever you do. Because the attitude of gratitude brings glory to God. What's it mean to glorify God? It means we acknowledge His glory. And to value it above all things. To make it known. It implies heartfelt gratitude. Psalm 50 verse 23 says, "Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God." Whoever offers praise glorifies me. So giving thanks is a natural obligation that man, the creature, owes to God, the Creator. As Creator and Sustainer of the universe, everything we have, our life, our health, our strength, our very breath, our food, our shelter, our clothes, the sun, the rain, the snow, the seasons, the course of the stars and the moon, everything we owe to Him. Because it all comes from the hand of God. This is one of the great themes of Scripture, one of the great reasons for giving thanks. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Everything that exists was created to bring glory to God. He is worthy of our gratitude. He is worthy of our worship, because He is our Creator and our God. We belong to Him by virtue of creation. And ungratefulness, by contrast, is a sign of unbelief. We have become a society of practical atheists. As I said earlier, we are to remember the Lord, and the way we remember Him is by obedience. On the whole, we are a society that lives and acts as though God were dead. He wasn't even around. Ours is a society that thinks it has jettisoned God, that it doesn't need Him. And a common attitude is, you owe it to no one but yourself. You know, be your own boss, live it up. Get all the gusto you can get. But the Bible says, for thy pleasure we were created. We were created for His pleasure, for His glory. God deserves our constant praise, our constant thanksgiving. He is our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Our thankfulness, our gratitude, brings glory to God. And to glorify God is the reason that we exist. Now let me ask you, are you glorifying God by your attitude? You know, as a magnet drawn through the sand picks up particles of iron, so a grateful heart finds some God-given blessing in every situation. Listen to this and see if it doesn't minister to your heart. As an American, I am thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. The clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. A lawn that needs mowing. Windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing, because it means that I have a house. The spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means that I am capable of walking. My huge air conditioning bill, because it means I am cool. All the complaining I hear about our government, because it means we have freedom of speech. The lady behind me in church who sings off key, because it means I can hear. The pile of laundry and ironing, because it means my loved ones are nearby. The alarm that goes off early in the morning hours, because it means I'm alive. I've never really thought about it in this way, but I am grateful for all these and more. And I hope you are too. When we understand the grace that God has given to us, I think the only normal, logical, and right response is to live a life of obedience and submission to Him out of heartfelt gratitude. And that really is the motivation for Christian service. All through Scripture, the reason God wants us to serve Him is out of gratitude. It's not out of a sense of we're going to earn something, we're going to get something for it. God says, I've given you everything. I want you to serve out of gratitude, which really grieves my heart, because that's probably why there's so much disobedience in the American church, because there is no gratitude. We're not motivated because we're not grateful. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Believers, we have received the kingdom which cannot be shaken. By faith in Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, we have entered into the eternal kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And what's our response to this grace? The writer of Hebrews says, let us show gratitude. How do we do that? It says, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Out of a deep sense of gratitude for all the Lord has given us, let us serve Him with reverence and awe. If you are truly grateful for all that God has given you, I think it's going to be demonstrated by a life of obedience, because gratitude wants to show itself. People who are truly grateful live every day of their lives in a way to show the gratitude that they have been given by our Heavenly Father. This weekend, as we celebrate this Memorial Day, let us do it with a profound gratitude to God for all that He has given us in this country. As American Christians, we can truly say, all this and heaven too. We're blessed beyond measure. May it be reflected in a heart of gratitude. How sad that the richest, most blessed, most prosperous people in the world are the biggest whiners. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the freedom I enjoy in this country. I thank You for the freedom to stand up and teach the Word of God. I thank You for the freedom to talk about You wherever I go. I thank You about the freedom to live in peace, that I don't fear for my family's safety because of the peace we live in this nation. Lord, thank You. Thank You that we have food to eat, abundance of food. Thank You for our health. So many, Father, rich blessings You have poured out upon us. I thank You for family. I thank You for friends. I thank You for this church, Lord, and the people who are here out of love and devotion to You. I pray You'd continually bind us together. Father, I pray that as we put together this fellowship meal, that it would serve, Lord, to help us be closer to one another. That we'd be willing to share our talents and our abilities to help one another. That we truly would become a community, Father, of believers who love You and demonstrate that love by the way that we live. Lord, I pray that You would convict us by Your Holy Spirit this morning of our lack of gratitude. Lord, as we murmur, as we complain, may You pierce our hearts as with a hot dagger, Lord, that we may be reminded of how heinous of a sin that is before You. Oh, Father, teach us to count our blessings. Help us through the Word of God to see how rich, how blessed we are. that we might be a joyous people, a grateful people, and that by through our gratitude, through our praise, through our adoration, the people around us would ask us the reason for the hope that's in us. And we might be a people who share constantly what you have blessed us with those around us. Lord, I thank you for your grace. Father, I pray as we go to the picnic that you would give us just the time to enjoy one another's fellowship, one another's company. I pray that you would keep us safe. Thank you for this day, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.